your top grievance of the week. It's primary complaint happening this hour. I know Paul and I are ready to go on this. Looking forward to it. Hope you'll join us. In just a moment, we'll talk with Jonathan Joseph. Edley's excited to announce they're planning to open their East Nashville location on Monday, June 1st. It's been tough for them to get through the tornado damage and the pandemic like many businesses, but they're getting back into the swing of things. You can smell the brisket now over on East Nashville location. You can taste it now, 12 South and in Sylvan Park. But I say all that to say they're hiring at their East Nashville location. If you're interested, if you know someone who would be interested, help us spread the word. Edley'sBBQ.com/jobs, EdleysBBQ.com/jobs, or you can swing by the Sylvan Park location and you can apply in person. It's great news. We're excited to see Edley's returning to the East Side, and it's great news, Paul, for Will and Catherine Newman, who are finally seeing some light at the end of the tunnel with these businesses that they own downtown.
They've been busting it, and we hope we've helped some. I know I've eaten my share of the brisket lasagna, which is fantastic. Can't recommend it highly enough. Great food, great people. Check them out if you haven't, and if you have, keep going. And I'm excited to hear that they're doing some hiring. I'm excited to hear that anybody's doing some hiring.
Yep, it's great. I was talking with Will the other day about that. They are pumped to get back and ready to go. And I believe once everyone's allowed to actually do something downtown, we're going to be on the rooftop of Poncho and Lefty's as a show and a midday 180 night out.
Absolutely.
We've done that before. We'll fly our flag there again. And who knows? Maybe it's prior to a Preds game.
That's figuratively because we lost our flag.
Oh, we did. New Titans quarterback Jonathan Joseph. He's entering his 15th NFL season. And after 9 years in Houston, he left the Texans as the franchise leader in interceptions, pick sixes, and passes defensed. And the new Titans corner joins us now. Jonathan, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks. And yourself?
Yeah, man, doing very well. I was thinking this morning about how you're joining a team during an offseason where you can't do anything at the team facility, but then I realized that you signed with the Texans in 2011, and that was the offseason with the lockout, and that prevented you from doing the same thing then that you would be doing now. Does it feel similar?
Not really, because I guess back then I was younger, so I didn't really have an understanding of what was going on. I was just all over the place, trying to do a new team, you know, just kind of get my life in order, my family together and things like that. And then we didn't have no meetings, like the Zoom meetings and things. It was more so orchestrated workouts. You know, you got a group of guys, you met up either in your city or another city, and you kind of did workouts and did things like that. And I was a free agent, which I was pending at the time, so, you know, I didn't know if I was going to be looking. Signed with Cincinnati back or not, so I didn't have, I was kind of humble, so I was kind of doing my own thing, just staying in shape, and then, you know, once the phone call was made and lockout was over, things kind of picked up at a fast rate to where I actually, the day that I signed, I never was back in that same house ever again, you know, so it's kind of one of those situations.
What's the plan for getting up here, or are you still completely on hold in terms of knowing about relocating?
I think once, you know, I get a final word on when things are reopened, when we can come into the facilities and things like that, I think then I'll kind of make a transition to, you know, finding me a place. I've been online looking at things and talking to guys, trying to figure out what's the best fit for me and understanding the city a little bit, you know, where I need to drive, what's the distance from here to practice, you know, the game day facilities and things like that. So but just more so asking questions. Obviously, you know, getting to the city and learning that, I have to do that on my own. You know, just driving around a few times on my off time, things like that.
Jonathan Joseph with us on the Midday 180. You've already experienced Vrabel as a defensive play caller. What was your takeaway from that season? And if we are, I don't know what's expected here, if he's calling plays or not, but if he does, what are you expecting to see?
Oh, he's very detailed. I think the best thing about him, he got a feel for the game. You know, been playing for so long, playing at a high level throughout his career, just having that knowledge. I think he's able to get, you know, players to perform. Guys play relentless, you know, going after the ball, trying to create turnovers. And I think I'm just bringing that tenacity and energy. And he brings that same, you know, when I was with him, he brought that same, you know, energy to the practice field each and every day, and it rubbed off on the guys. And it was just the mentality of the defensive mindset. I think it'll be no different, you know, with him being the head coach of the team. Obviously, you know, he has to look over the offense, defense, and special teams. But with them helping out on defense, it'll be the same mentality for sure.
How about Anthony Midget? We don't know that much about him. We haven't gotten to talk to him yet. Obviously, with him coming in and everything taking off the way it has with coronavirus. Kerry Combs, who was here as the defensive backs coach since Vrabel's been here, an enormously popular and energetic guy, had a lot of the qualities you just listed for Vrabel. Tell us a little bit about the new defensive backs coach who also came from the Texans.
Oh, yeah. I think Anthony made the same way. I think, you know, he played a year or two in the league, so he understands what it's like to be a player in this league. So I think, you know, building that relationship with the guys in the room. And then I think, you know, throughout the week, you're going to be able to develop guys, build that trust where guys can trust you from a player-coach relationship. And, you know, having guys just being accountable. So I think, you know, that's the thing he's going to bring. Obviously, being with him for the past 5-6 years, I've seen him grow, you know, tremendously from a standpoint of just coming into the National Football League as a coach to where he's at now. And I think another time you have a chance to get, you know, in another defensive team, you learn even more. So I think it'll be big for him, and it'll be big for the room. I'm excited to be back with him, so I'm just looking forward.
Jonathan Joseph, our guest. Sometimes, Jonathan, the terminology can take longer to catch up to than the technique. In your talks, do you expect the terminology to carry over for you too in some ways and allow you to come in and play faster?
Somewhat, but not really the same. I think it's more so for me. I just kind of learn the playbook and just get up to speed the way those guys communicate and say things. I think when you got down the field, you know, if it's cover two, cover three, cover four, there's only so many ways to play those things and man to man. So I think that take care of themselves when you get those field repetitions. But I think for me, I just want to be up to speed and up to par with the rest of those guys on the way they communicate. You know, the verbiage that they use, it all can mean the same thing, but it can just be one word to change things, you know, from a different system. So for me, it's more so about, you know, writing down notes and just rewriting those notes over and over again until I get a picture in my head to where I can just spit it out rapidly with those guys where everybody's on the same page to play fast and certain things like that. So anytime you're coming into a new team, whether you're just coming back into a new playbook or whatever, you don't want to be at one guy to where, you know, you call on in the meet, you don't know your assignment, what you're supposed to do.
We enjoy talking matchups on the show. Whenever you signed here, we were immediately discussing where we might see you. Are you good with slot corner? I know you've covered in the slot throughout your career, but for the discussion of sub-package pressures and everything that goes into that spot, can you play inside?
You know, I'm going to be ready for whatever job, you know, they have for me. You know, haven't really gotten to those type of conversations. I think right now it's just about, you know, getting into the groove of things, getting guys, you know, into the new playbook. And, you know, once guys get the feel, I'm sure they have a plan, but, you know, that's not up for me to go and lobby for anything. It's my job to come in and be on top of the playbook. And, you know, whatever that's for me, it's my job right now while I'm away from that to get my body in shape and my body prepared for whatever's going to come my way.
Can you jump into a locker room and immediately be the leader, one of the go-to players with that group? And how much have you talked with your teammates?
Yeah, they talk a lot in the meetings. You know, I think Kevin, Kenny, those guys, Malcolm Butler, those guys do a great job of talking and leading. You know, obviously, you know, the more voices you have, you know, is always the better. You know, I'm not coming here to step on anybody's toes or anything like that. My job is if guys have questions or if it's somewhere I can step in and help out, something that I can see or point out, or it can be something that they can help me with also. You know, so it's not like, you know, just because I'm the older guy, I'm coming in and my word is final say or this way or that way. I think it's open communication. You know, I see a guy taking a false step here and there. It's my place, you know, it's his teammate and the veteran guy to come in and tell him the right way or correct him. And it's no different if I was out there and they seen something, because we all have to be each other's set of eyes when we're out there playing on the field.
Jonathan Joseph, our guest of the Midday 180.
How recently have you talked to your buddy Jadeveon Clowney? And what do you think his timetable is to get back in the league? What do you think the chances are it's here?
Honestly, I have no idea. We haven't even really talked back about it because, you know, the previous 3 or 4 times, you know, we talked about it, it was always still the kind of same thing in the same spot. So I just kind of left it alone because, you know, like I said before, you know, it's a big decision that guys got to make, and you don't want to kind of alter that decision or, you know, hinder them in any way, form, or fashion. You know, like I said before, if you ask me a question about how I feel about some of my input, I'm always there for you to give them the insight to the utmost degree. But at the same time, I cannot be the guy to push him one way or another, regardless of how much y'all think it may impact me or it may, you know, help the team or things like that. You know, you have to just, you know, be truthful in those regards.
Jonathan, you've been described by those who've watched your career up close as a hardworking leader on and off the field. And some past players would tell us a hard work ethic, it isn't learned, it's inherited. Do you think you inherited that mentality from your father? I know he worked at a mill for one of his jobs and called in sick only once in 30 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think over time, you know, I've never seen my dad ever complain about work. You know, whether he coming in working, you know, the third shift, second shift, coming in at 12 midnight, but, you know, me and him getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, going fishing, him coming back in, taking a nap, getting prepared to go to work. You know, him having an aneurysm, coming back, you know, immediately from that, getting right back into work, and just never complaining, you know, learning how to take care of his family and all those things. And I think just seeing him do that throughout, you know, the course of his life, it just rubbed off on me, you know, each and every day, just the small things, you know, being to work on time, being accountable, you know, doing your job. He always told me, young, you know, work as if you was getting paid $2 and you getting paid $1, and somebody eventually noticed. You know, so all those type of things just stuck with me throughout my time. And, you know, I don't know if that's for my longevity or not, but I just try to bring that same mentality to work each and every day.
And someone described you and they said, here's a guy who is great with time management for his kids. He's making a point to do that for his own kids because that's what his dad did for him. I know your son, one of your three children, he's playing high school football in North Carolina this upcoming fall. Flights in and out of Nashville to Charlotte are pretty easy to make. Do you plan on going to watch him play on Friday nights?
Absolutely. You know, I don't know how I'm going to wing it, you know, as of right now with the schedule and things like that. But, you know, it's 2020. There's several ways to get around things. But I definitely wouldn't jeopardize anything with my team first and foremost. But I'm definitely looking forward to making that happen, you know, a quick flight in, quick flight right back out, you know, because it means a lot for me, and I know it definitely means a lot for him also.
Did you really think that your career was over due to turf toe in 2013?
Oh, yeah, 100%. If you just know, if you was around me just to see the things, like, you know, having a locker, the bottom of my locker being filled with, you know, 15, 20 different pairs of shoes, I couldn't find nothing comfortable to fit my shoe. And then the time coming back from that one, my right one flared up, and I basically missed the whole training camp. I didn't practice again until week one when they finally found a way to do the right injection. Well, not the right injection, but found an injection that would work for my toe to kind of ease the pain and get things moving in the right direction after having that surgery. So it was a long process. It was one of those things to where I wasn't comfortable for a long time, a real long time. But, you know, my play never, you know, I never missed games about it, never just played through it. And to the common eye, people probably never thought I was affected by it, but at the end of the day, it is one of those mental things I had to get over.
And now 7 years later, here you are signing your third free agent deal. I know you've signed some extensions with Houston and other things like that, but your third team. And if you were thinking that in 2013, I'm sure you did not think I'll be playing in Nashville in 2020.
Oh, no, not at all. And then it was funny, you know, because once I got over that hump, you know, everything kind of smoothed itself out. I've been able to stay, you know, for the most part, relatively healthy. And that was one of those things. So it was kind of weird. I wore a different cleat and then went out there and tried on a cleat. And for sure, when I tried on that different cleat, like week 12 or 13 throughout the year, whatever week that was that year, within the third play of the game, just planning and driving, it just popped. So, you know, in my head, anytime I won't say their name, but they don't even really make, you know, anytime I even put that cleat on at times now, sometimes in my head, I just feel my toe just from a mental standpoint. So, you know, I'm glad just to be over that hump, you know, throughout my career when I'm able to just go out and play and relax.
What was your view of A.J. Brown last year and your impressions from the other side of a guy that you're now going to cover some in practice and work with?
Say again, sorry.
I was curious about your view of A.J. Brown on the Titans last year from across the sideline and on the field opposite him, a guy you're going to work with this year and who the Titans are hoping gets even better.
I think he's a real talented kid. I think came on strong as a rookie and finished strong. You see a lot of guys that rookies tail off. I think he's able to push through and fight through it, even though, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get a name for yourself or you start to see some attention, guys catch on, so the coverage and things start to fade your way. You see a little more attention from, you know, the way teams roll the coverage to you. I think, you know, the young kid, he's able to fight through all those things as a rookie. And I think, you know, I talked to him several times throughout the game, after the game, and gave him my advice and opinions on things. I think, you know, he can better himself throughout. his career. And I think going into his second year should be big for him. Anytime you have a second year as a receiver, you should be able to grow just because you learn so much.
Jonathan Joseph has been our guest. Hey, final thing for you. On the conference call last week with media, you told them that you estimate that you've dropped throughout your career 30 to 35 picks. Which one bugs you the most? Which play do you want back the most?
Playing against the Patriots probably 2 or 3 years ago. We was in goal line defense, I think, or big defense or something. They ran a play through the back of the end zone with Martellus Bennett, and Tom Brady threw it to Martellus Bennett. I undercut it. I'd have ran it back for 108-yard interception return. Two hands on the ball.
He say anything to you after the game about that drop?
Nah, that one or my first time back in Cincinnati, I already had an interception, and I knew they was going to run ram route in the goal line, and they ran ram route, and when they ran it, I don't know if I couldn't believe it or not, but Andy Dalton threw the ball right into my chest, and it would have been 102 interception return on the sideline my first season back against Cincinnati. But the list just goes on and on.
Hey, man, we're excited to once everything wraps up and we can get back in studio or back out and cover practice again. Excited to see in person, say hello, and we appreciate the visit via phone today.
No problem. Looking forward to it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
All right. New Titans Corner. Jonathan Joseph has been our guest. He is much better friends with Jadeveon Clowney than what he said recently with all that. They're from the same hometown, went to the same college, and then played together in Houston. They're close.
And he's leaving him alone.
Yes.
Now.
And if he's not leaving him alone, he's leaving the topic alone for discussion with us. Overall, good chat there. Time for primary complaint, Paul. That's on deck, and we welcome the phone calls. We open up the phone line, 615-737-1045, our number. Air your top grievance with us. We're ready.
Let's do it.
Midday 180. We're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone.
Hello, heavy.